Glad to be with you this morning. Before I begin this morning, in my years here, I've had to say goodbye to a lot of fine people, people who were very helpful to me, people who encouraged me, and people who made a difference simply because of the kind of person they were. I'm sorry that I'm not going to be here for Sister Ellis's funeral. Sister Ellis was always kind to me, always uplifting, always had a smile, and always said positive things to me. I really going to miss her, and I pray for her family. I know that you're hurting with her loss, just like it seems that not long ago we said goodbye to Flossie, and now Elizabeth, it just seems to be coming in waves here lately. And also to Sister Stevens and Sister Sims and Sean Judy as they bury Randy on Monday. My timing has always been impeccable here. I just don't know how many times this has happened when I'm not going to be here. And I know you've been very understanding, but I want you to know that I'll be thinking about you on Thursday as you lay Elizabeth to rest and as Randy is laid to rest on Monday. Please take your Bibles out and turn to Romans 1, verse 17. There is a passage in this verse that is so simply to be understood that would really take care of a lot of misunderstanding in the religious world as to the kind of faith that is necessary in order to please God and to be saving faith. And we studied this a little bit when we had class, and we'll expand on it a little bit this morning. In Romans 1:17, it says, For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to talk to you this morning about faith to faith. In this passage, there are two different types of faith that is being discussed. And we need to understand each part of faith and how it plays in our lives and in our lives to God. Faith is man's reaction. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. We have to have faith. But there is a great misunderstanding in the religious world what exactly that means. What does it mean that we have to have faith? Well, I believe this passage will give us insight into understanding that it's a particular kind of faith. From faith to faith. You see, the story of salvation was revealed by faith. The story of how we can be saved, how we are sinners, how we need the redemption that can only be found in Christ Jesus, the story of salvation was by faith, was revealed by the Bible. That is our source for understanding what our spiritual condition is, what our need is, and the solution to it. Without that revelation, we would not know that we were sinners. We would not know the condition that places our souls in. And we would not know the remedy that God had provided and designed before time began. And so what you see, in order to produce faith, our faith, the Bible produced the standard of faith that produces our faith. Our faith is based upon the truth that is contained in the faith. The faith is the basis and the foundation that produces human faith, that gives us salvation and hope in Christ. And so you need both. You need the thing that produces the faith, and then you need that which the faith produces. And that's our personal faith. Now, what we do is because of faith. Whatever we do in our relationship with God is based upon our faith. It is based upon our understanding and our responsibility and duty as we read and study and as we put together the Bible story that what we do is because of faith. The only reason that I needed the word as a baptism is because I did that by faith. If I was just doing it by an outward observation that somehow going under water is going to change my spiritual condition before God, I would have no basis to do that. What would I base upon the fact that simply going under some water would change my spiritual state? What human information would I have that I could base such an action on? I don't base it on a human action. I don't base it on any human information. What convinced me in order to do that very act so many years ago was the faith that I read about in the Bible. That produced the faith that I put into action by my obedience to the gospel. In the same manner, faith also fails us when we fail, we are lacking in faith. When we don't do what we ought to do, then maybe the problem is not that we don't understand, maybe it's a lack of faith. These are sins of omission, things that we know we ought to do, but we don't do because our faith is lacking. Let me give you an example. You know what? The Bible tells us that we're to study. We're to study to show ourselves approved in God. A workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the way of the truth. We all understand that that's a duty, that's a responsibility, but when we fail to do that, we are lacking in faith because we don't have a deep enough conviction that's going to motivate us to do that. And so everything we do in our service to God is because of faith. And everything that we fail to do, we could, in a broad sense, we could say that is a lack of faith, a lack of spiritual conviction. But how do you bring those two things together? Now, both things are brought together by the Bible, and we're going to see that very shortly. Now, if you ask me what faith is, I would give you this Bible definition. I would take you to Hebrews 11 in verse 1, where faith is defined in the Word of God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, notice, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Things that we hope, things that we have focused our hearts and minds on. But the evidence is, we've not seen it yet. We have not put our hands on it yet. I think it may be helpful here to look at other translations of this verse. In the American Standard Version, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen. I believe that's a better translation to understand it. Faith is the assurance. We have the assurance. Why do we have the assurance of it? Why can we really hope for it, knowing that that hope will be realized? Because we have God's assurance. I can have that. That hope's not a pipe dream. That's not a mirage. That's not something that might happen. That's a real living hope. Why do I have that? Because my assurance of what God has told me. And the conviction, I have a conviction that it will be exactly what God says because of the faith that I possess. I believe and am convicted that that's the way it is based upon the faith that I have in Christ. Now, in the ESV, and that's the English Standard Version, it has about the same thing. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. Now, to understand this perfectly, take your Bible and turn to Hebrews 11, to verse 6. Now, this is a passage that most of us can quote. And we know what this verse says. But do we understand how to apply it? In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer wrote, now this is after he gives us the definition of faith that we just read. Then he makes this statement in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder although they diligently search for him. Now, remember what the definition of faith is. Conviction of things not seen. Things hoped for, things that we haven't seen yet. We believe that he is here. I've never seen God. You've never seen God. But we believe God exists. And we believe that God created the world in 6 literal days. And we believe that he had a plan before the world began. And we believe that he sent his son in order to die for the sins of the world. And we believe that God did that because he loved us. But we have that conviction. But what is that conviction based upon? What is all those things I just told you? What is the basis of us believing that? This right here. That's why we believe it. Now, the confidence of things hoped for. Notice the way that this verse ends. Here's our confidence. That he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's going to reward us. He's going to reward us for our diligently seeking him. You see, one who has faith is convinced in regards to things not seen and confident in the things that he hopes for. I'm convinced in regards to things I'm not seeing. I am convinced that when I went under that water, that the blood of Christ washed away my sin. I am convinced of that. And you couldn't convince me otherwise. But what is that conviction based upon? That conviction is based upon when Ananias told Saul, why does our king arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord? I believe that the water washes away my sin because I have the assurance in God's word. We also know in Colossians 2, it causes the operation of God. I base what I did, my conviction, in regards to things not seen. I didn't see my sins go away. The water didn't turn black, it didn't turn brown, it didn't turn red. I didn't see it happen, but I'm convinced that it happened. And I'm confident in what I did because that put me into Christ. I believe I am a Christian. I believe I've been born again. I believe I'm a child of God. I believe I'm a joint heir. And I believe I have a hope of heaven. I am confident in what I did resulted in all those things. Now, what do I base that confidence upon? I base that confidence on what I can read and what I can understand that's revealed in the faith. One has faith when he's convinced in regards to things that he's never seen, but he's confident in the things that he hopes for. I've never seen heaven, but I believe it exists, and I want to go there. And you couldn't convince me otherwise, because I believe the evidence that I've read that it indeed is a true place. And so, as we begin, in Hebrews 1, we define what faith is. Now, faith is based on the acceptance of evidence. Now, brethren, your faith and my faith is the basis of the acceptance of the evidence that has been presented to us. Now, the faith is the acceptance of the evidence. The evidence is what I base my faith upon. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is produced on the evidence. What kind of evidence did God give us? God gave us evidence. He gave us eyewitness testimony. He gave us facts. He gave us promises. He gave us concrete evidence that the things he's asked of us and the things that he'll do for us, that he has the ability, the power, and the authority in order to carry it out. And so, the evidence produces my faith. And that's what my faith is based on. My faith is based on facts, evidence, and testimony. Everything I do, everything I believe, is based upon those things. Where are all those facts, promises, evidence, eyewitness testimony? Where do I find that at? I find that in the Bible. That's what produces my faith. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 4 and look at verse 13. And since we have the same spirit, we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we spoke. You see, they have the spirit of faith. Why? It's based upon what I've written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. The apostles were led by the Holy Spirit. That means they were directed by God. That means that every word, every teaching, every thought, every theory that's taught in the Bible is based upon fact. It is based upon it, thus saith the Lord. Paul wasn't giving you his opinion. James wasn't giving you his opinion. Moses wasn't giving you his opinion in the book of Genesis. Jeremiah wasn't talking from Jeremiah's perspective. These men were directed by the Holy Spirit. And they had the same spirit of faith that you and I do. And it's based upon what was told to them and what they believed. Now, our faith is based on the acceptance of evidence. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't want us to take a leap in the dark. God doesn't want us to be absolutely sure that what we're doing is the right thing. I have told people my whole life that I am not offended, I will not get upset if you question something that I taught or that I preached. That's your right. But not only is it your right, it's your responsibility. You have the responsibility of knowing that what you hear, that you're instructed to do, doesn't come from me. It has to come from the Word of God. And the only way that you know that's true is if you open that book and you read it for yourself. And then when you do it, it's not based upon what I said. It's based upon what the evidence said. Now, let me give you a biblical example before moving on. In Hebrews 11, it talked about Noah. Noah was told, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. God told Noah, I'm going to send a flood, and I'm going to destroy every living thing that's on this earth. Save you, your wife, your three sons, and their wife. But every other living thing on earth, besides you and the things I tell you to bring in the ark, they are going to be destroyed. Now, I'm going to cause it to rain for a number of days, and it's going to cover the earth with water. Now, Noah never saw rain. He didn't know what that was. And yet, only on the evidence produced by God telling him, this is what I'm going to do, and this is the provision I've made in order to save you and your household, he had to make a decision. He had to make a decision, was he going to believe what God said simply based on the evidence that God told him? And you know what the Bible says? He became heir of righteousness because he was obedient. You see, he believed. He was convicted by the evidence. And that convinced him that he needed to build the ark. That's how it works. Faith is the acceptance of the evidence. But to understand that, you also have to understand what faith is not. Because many people in the world do not understand what faith is. Number one, faith is not a leap in the dark. God does not want you to just, maybe this is true, could be true, sounds pretty good. No, God doesn't want your faith based upon that. He wants your faith solidly based upon evidence that is sure and cannot be denied. God's not asking you to take a leap in the dark. God's not asking any man to take a leap in the dark. Let me give you a couple of biblical illustrations. Abraham was told, take Isaac, take them up on top of Mount Moriah and offer them for a burnt offering to me. What is the only reason he got on that donkey and took him and Isaac up that hill and built that altar and put Isaac on that altar? What did he base that action upon? He based that action on his faith. His faith in what? His faith in what God told him to do. It was based on what God said. But if we read Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, we read what was in Abraham's mind. Abraham knew that the promise that was given to him would pass through Isaac. If that promise was going to be realized in Isaac, Isaac would have to live. And Abraham believed, even if he took Isaac's life, God would raise Isaac again in order to keep the promise that he made to Abraham. Now, he didn't take Isaac's life, but Abraham was willing to do it, to go to that extent. Why? Because of his faith in God. What did he base his faith in God on? Evidence. Why would Joshua walk around the walls of Jericho six times, once a day for 6 days, and then walk around the seventh time, the seventh day, blow trumpets and shout, and believe the walls of Jericho would fall down, and they could walk right in and take the city? Why would Joshua do that? What was the only reason that he did it? Because he was convicted by the evidence presented to him by God. He was also convicted by the things that he knew about God. He knew about what God did in Egypt. He knew about how God led the children of Israel through the wilderness 40 years. He was convinced by what he knew. But he was also convinced by what God said. You see, thus, you can do something if you have solid evidence to support it. And if you have solid evidence, then it's not a leap in the dark. It's not opinion or personal feeling. Faith is not based on what you think. Faith is not based on what I think. And it's not about personal opinion. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. I've discussed the Bible with people all my life that said, well, you know, I just don't see it like that. Maybe you don't. And you know what? You have a prerogative not to see it like that. But because you don't see it like that doesn't mean it's not like that. Now, you might not believe that 1 + 1 = 2. That's your prerogative. You don't have to believe it, but as long as you live, 1 + 1 = 2. And no matter how much you have a personal opinion or a personal feeling that it means it equals 3, that don't change the truth, does it? You see, personal opinion doesn't determine faith because everybody has an opinion. Personal feelings don't change it because everybody's feelings are different. Faith's not based upon all these different factors. Faith is based on the thus saith the Lord. And lastly, faith is not based on tradition. Yeah, I've had people all my life tell me that I believe what I believe because I was raised in the church. It has nothing to do with it. No, that gave me an advantage. I probably say it did. I was raised by God and parents. Many of you were too. And that does give us an opinion, but I don't believe something just because I was raised in the church or because my mom and dad taught it to me. I don't believe something because that's tradition. You know what? We don't do things because of tradition. You know what? We pray, we sing, we'll take the notes up in a few minutes, we'll give on our knees, and I'm up here preaching. Do I do this because it's tradition? Well, that's what I've done. I've done this since I was a little boy. Some of you have done it for longer than I've been living. Is that why I do it? Because it's tradition? No. You know why I do it? Because I can give you a book, a chapter, and a verse of why I do it. I'm not doing it by tradition. I'm doing it because I have evidence that that's what God's asked me to do. And I do that based upon the evidence and my faith in God. And so these things do not produce faith. They never have and they never will. Now, we've defined faith, but what is faith's source? What is the source of the faith that we believe in? Well, that's easy. Faith is based upon God's word. Turn to Acts chapter 20, and here Paul is talking to the elders of Ephesus in Miletus, and he's never going to see him again. And in verse 32, at the end of his talk with them, he makes this statement. He says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." Notice, the word of his grace. The access to God's grace is through his word. And that word is able to build you up spiritually. It is to build you up into what you need to be. And why is that needed? To give you an inheritance. You need to be built up in order to get an inheritance. And so the faith is designed to build and strengthen you spiritually so you can receive your inheritance. Now, so the source of faith establishes our faith, it strengthens our faith, and it maintains our faith. What thing do we have that can do those three things? What do we have possession of that can establish our faith, strengthen our faith, and maintain our faith? What do we have that can do that? This is the only thing that can do those three things. Without this, you cannot do those three things. Now, that being said, let me give you a couple of conclusions. More time spent with the Word makes your faith stronger. The more time you spend in the Word of God, the better you know it, the better you understand it, the better you have it in your heart and in your mind, the stronger you are spiritually. Does that make sense? That makes perfect sense. But there's a flip side of that. And the flip side is, less time spent with the Word makes your faith weaker. Do you think the only time, and you know Brother Jackson talked about this in the Bible class. He talked about checkbox religion. And he's right, there are many brethren who have this concept about religion. Well, I attend the Bible class, check. I attend the worship service, check. I attend Sunday night, check. I attend Wednesday night, check. I took the Lord's Supper, check that off. I gave him my knees, check that off. No, brethren, if that's the way we look at Christianity, then we don't understand Christianity. Christianity isn't a checkbox religion. You see, if the only time that you have an intimate relationship with the Word of God is when you come here, you're dying, and you don't even know it. You're dying spiritually. Because the less time you spend with the Bible, the weaker you become spiritually. And the more vulnerable you become to Satan. And the more vulnerable you become to his tactics. That's why one of the reasons that we meet together is to strengthen our faith. It is to maintain our faith. In Hebrews 10:24, we often quote verse 25, where it says, "Not forsaking yourself, the assembling of yourself together as a manner of some is." But we forget about the verse 24. What does verse 24 say before verse 25? Verse 24 gives you one of the reasons that we follow through with verse 25. It says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works." One of the reasons that we come together is to stir one another up to love and good works. Now, can you convince me to good works if I know you can be here and we're not? Do you stir me up and provoke me to love and good works if I know you can be here but you choose not to be? How does that provoke me to love and good works? You see, the reason that we come together is not to check a box. The reason we come together is to worship God, to do what he has asked us to do, and number two is to strengthen our relationship among ourselves and with him. And so, the source of our faith is the Word of God. It will establish, strengthen, and maintain our faith, but to, by the time you've spent it, determine whether your faith is strong and whether your faith is weak. Let me put it this way. In Romans chapter 15, it tells us that we ought to support the weak. Let me ask you a question. Who would spend less time with the Bible? The strong or the weak? You know what? You know the answer to that. A strong person spends a lot of time in the Word. He's the one that's strong. The one that's weak is one that doesn't spend the time in God's Word. And so, how much we spend in time with God's Word determines how strong our faith really is. Now that we know faith's source, and we know faith defined, what makes faith of more avail? You know, you and I know a lot of people who believe in God. I've talked to people my whole life that I don't deny that they believe in God. I don't deny they love God. And I don't deny they don't love Jesus Christ. And I'm not denying that they don't love and accept his sacrifice on the cross. I acknowledge all of that. I've met people like that my whole life. But the question is, does all faith lead to the same thing? Now that's a fair question. Does any faith get you to where you want to go spiritually? No, I don't think so. I think there's faith that has no avail. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. What if you believe the wrong thing? Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What if your faith has led you to believe the wrong thing? In Philippians 2 verse 10 it says, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And so what if your faith that you have believe causes you to believe something is false? Turn to 1 John 4 and verse 1. 1 John 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into it. If all faith leads to the same place, why would I need to test the spirits? Why would you need to test the spirits if all faith will lead you to the same outcome, same ending? Now, there are millions of people today who are in buildings just like this, doing a variety of different things. Some have bands, some have choirs, some have praise teams, some do drama skits, some do other things. Does it really matter? They all believe in God. They all have faith in God. They all have faith in Jesus Christ. I would not deny that. I would not deny their faith in that. But the problem is, they have their own kind of faith. You know how I can say that? Because it's not based on the thus saith the Lord. It's not based on what the scripture says. That's an invalid faith. That faith can't save you. I'll give you an example. The Bible says in James 2:19, the demons believe and tremble. Now, demons saved? They believe. When Jesus cast the demons out in the New Testament that we read about when we were studying John, did they recognize who he was? Son of God, why have you come to distress us before the time? They knew who he was. They confessed he was Jesus Christ. They believed in him. They knew who he was. Did their faith save him? No, it didn't save him. You can believe the wrong thing, but then your faith is invalid. What about if you believe the right thing, but you don't act? That's what the demons do. They believe, but they don't do the right thing. Their faith didn't save them. What about the Jews in Jesus' day? In John 8, what about the Jews? They said, where are our father Abraham? Where are our father Abraham? Where are the spiritual descendants of Abraham? Where are they? What did Jesus tell them in John 8? He says, your father is a devil. Your father isn't God. Your father is a devil. Why did he say that? Because they were doing the devil's work. They weren't doing God's work. You see, if you believe the right things, you don't act. That's just like having no faith at all. Now let me give you a little closer to home. We know that we're to give of our means on the first day of the week. That means that we, and if you study giving, it's not tithing. That was an Old Testament relic. Giving is something that's done with purpose of heart. That means that it's planned. Therefore, if giving comes down to what's left after I take care of everything that I need to take care of, and I give God what's left, you know what's right. You know what the Bible says. You know what your duty is. But you do something different. Is that a faith world? You don't have Bible faith. Because that won't be accepted. Now, the church may take it because we don't know your heart. And we don't have to know your heart. But whether or not that is received on God's benefit and he puts it to your credit, God determines that. I don't. But you see, you know what's right. But if you don't act, then your faith doesn't, your faith's not very valuable to you. Your faith doesn't really help you any. And last, we believe the right thing, but we lose faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. This is what the problem the Jews had. Yeah, they had faith, but they didn't follow through with it. In Hebrews 3, beginning in verse 12, says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily what is called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You believe the right thing, but you lose your faith. Let me give you a biblical example. Moses. Anybody here going to deny Moses they didn't have faith in God? We all know you have faith in God. What did he do in Numbers chapter 20? Numbers chapter 20, God told Noah that the children of Israel were complaining about water again. He said, you go over to the rock, and you speak to the rock, and it will bring forth water for you and the beast. But Moses, he had it up to here with the Israelites complaining, and they're grumbling, and they're belly aching. He had it up to here. And he got angry at them. Not at God, he got angry at them. But when he went to do what God instructed him to do, he says, must we fetch you water from this rock? And then he smote the rock twice. And the Bible says that the water came out. No harm done. Wrong. In Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12, the Bible says, because you did not hallow me and did not believe me, you will not lead this people into the promised land. You say, well, wait a minute. Didn't believe him? Moses believed him, but you see, there's a very important principle taught in Numbers 20. You know what it is? Disobedience equals unbelief. When you don't do what you know is the right thing to do, and you do something else, God says that's a lack of faith. That's unbelief. And unbelief caused Moses the promised land. You see how that works? You can believe the right thing. A lot of brethren, they got this lunacy position that because their name's on a church roll somewhere, that they're going to be saved despite whatever they do in their life. No matter how much they come to service, no matter how active they are in the Lord's church, as long as they come once in a while, they take the Lord's Supper and they waver means that they're going to be okay. They've convinced themselves that that's all that matters. They're going to go in for a rude awakening when they pass through death. They're going to find out there was more to it than that. You see, you can have faith, but it can be to no avail if it causes you not to do what you know to be right. Now, last, what about faith changing? What about faith changing? Faith is central to salvation. But you can have varying degrees of faith. In Matthew 6:30, it says these men had little faith. In Matthew 8, verse 10, Jesus called what these men were doing, they had great faith. And then in Romans 4, Paul said some of the Jews had weak faith. And so there's varying degrees of faith. Your faith can start little, but it can grow to be strong and be great. Or it can get weak. And then you have increased faith. Luke chapter 17. Let's read 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to give thanks, God, always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds towards each other. You see, they were full of faith. Their love was growing, it was increasing. And you could keep working on it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 9. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You say you've got to maintain your faith. You've got to keep working on your faith, because that's what's going to put you in the position to receive salvation. So, you know, all of our faith can change. There can be times when it's really strong. There can be times when it's weak. There can be times when it's shallow. There can be times when it's very great. But all of that's going to be based upon how you use this and how much you apply what this says. Now, bringing this lesson to a close, faith is the only thing that can save you. Nothing else can save you. We're saved by faith. Faith is essential to salvation. Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say in John 8:24? Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. Faith is central to salvation. Faith without works is dead. Be ye a doer and not a hearer only. Faith without works is dead. Just like the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith is of absolutely no benefit if it's not mingled with works that are directed by God. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. In Romans 1, verse 5, in chapter 16, verse 26, this book begins with an obedience to faith and it ends in the same manner in verse 26. Disobedience shows a lack of faith. I just showed you and told you about Moses in Numbers 20. And the Bible says that obedience is demonstrated by putting faith and belief into practice. In Romans 10, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? You see, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? You see, obeying is believing. And let me close this lesson this morning by you turning to Jude, verse 3. Jude, verse 3. Saving faith is the only faith that saves, and it must be obedient faith. The faith the Bible talks about that saves, the only faith that saves, is obedient faith. And if you don't believe that, study Hebrews chapter 11. But in Jude verse 3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to all the saints. What is the faith once delivered to the saints? This is the faith. Now let us go back to Romans 1:17, where we begin. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith, the faith, to faith, our personal faith. And what we have done is we've defined it, we've shown you the source of it, we've showed you faith that will avail you nothing, and we tell you faith can change, and obedient Bible faith is the only faith that saves. You see, it takes the faith to produce your faith that can save you. The faith produces personal faith. If you're here this morning, if you're not a Christian, then you need to come to the faith. Because the faith will tell you how to become a Christian. It will tell you, the faith will tell you, hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. Believing, John 8:24. Repentance, Acts 17:30. Confession, Romans 10:9-10. Baptism, Acts 2:38. Galatians 3:27, Colossians 2:12. Now, what did I base all the things that I asked you to do? What did I base you to believe to do that? What basis did I give you to do that? The basis I gave you to do that was the faith. And what you do with what the faith said is going to determine what your personal faith is, and whether or not you're going to be saved when this life is over. But most of you in this audience this morning, I think not all of you, have already obeyed the gospel. And so where are you at in this equation? Well, you're here to establish, not to establish your faith. Your faith has already been established. You're here to strengthen your faith. You're here to maintain your faith. And what determines whether or not you do that is what you do with the faith. Is whether or not you accomplish that. If you use the faith in the way that God designed it, then it will maintain and it will strengthen your faith. If you're here and you have not done that, and you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, the Bible says, the faith says, if we confess our faults one to another, he is faithful to forgive us. That's what the faith says in 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we can help in any way, we bid you come forward as together we stand as we sing.